After France, after we beat France, we got better. We lost to America, but we got better. We got more confident, I think. We beat Nigeria, and that was a really good game for us. That was one of our most complete games. And then Belgium was just a crazy, exciting game. And that's kind of where I think we went from a really good team to a great team. And then, like I said, after that, it was a super team. We were a super team.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Japan Forward's Sports Talk Podcast. We have a special guest today, Tom Hovas. Tom previously coached the women's national team.
As the women's national team head coach, and that special experience ended with the silver medal at the Tokyo Olympics. Tom has taken over as the new men's national team coach, replacing Julio Lamas, who has finished his tenure in Japan and gone back to Argentina for some R&R. Tom, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
Good, thank you, Ed, for having me. Appreciate it.
Since the women finished second behind Team USA at the Olympic Women's Tournament, have you had any time to relax? You know, it looks like to me like you've been involved in this media blitz, online shows and radio programs and TV appearances. I know you mentioned to me briefly you went back to the States, but have you really had a vacation? Kind of tell me how you're doing.
Yeah, I was really surprised after winning a silver medal at the Olympics. I knew that the media was going to be a lot of media buzz immediately after the Olympics. The day after, there were several shows that me and several players went on, and I thought that might be it. But the offers just kept coming, and for my players as well as for me, and it's just been really crazy. I went back to the States for about a month, and I did several online things, TV shows online as well. I returned to Japan last week, and currently in quarantine. But with the men's team starting up now, it seems like there really hasn't been much of a lull in terms of the media requests going on. It's been quite a wild few months.
I think you might be able to describe it as kind of the new norm, and I think that might even be, there might be a parallel with the women's team now as well, where they're going to, the number of requests for the players and the coaching staff are not going to slow down based on the success at the Olympics.
Yeah, and I think it's a great thing for basketball in Japan. I'm hoping hindsight will prove me right. 40 years ago, when the Japanese women did really well in the Olympics in volleyball, it became a major sport here in Japan. And I'm hoping that women's basketball and men's basketball, it'll have the same effect. I really hope that basketball can take the next step in terms of being a major sport here.
I want you to think back to early August, actually the semifinal game. And what was your message to the players after the 87-71 victory over France to reach the final? What did you tell them?
That was an interesting game. So the quarterfinal against Belgium was a really, it's a 1-point crazy game. And when we won that game, it felt like we cleared a major hurdle, because the quarterfinal games are trap games. If you don't win the quarterfinal game, it's over. Your tournament is over. But if you win it, then you're guaranteed two more games. So we had two goals going into the Olympics. One was to win a gold medal, and one was to become the world standard in women's basketball, the style of play that we play. And we wanted to prove every single game, every single minute of every single game, that this is the basketball. This is a great brand of basketball. This is what Japan is setting here, setting the bar high. And once we got those two extra games, it felt like we had another lease on life in terms of, oh, we have two more games where we can really show our stuff. So we had a lot of confidence, a lot of energy going into the semifinal game. As you know, France was in our group.
Yeah.
So we had 2 months of prep for France. We knew France's offense and defense backwards. So preparing for that game was relatively easy. Obviously, we looked at their games in the Olympics after ours. And we were ready for them. We were prepared. We were confident. And we were up 27 points with 5 minutes to go. And then the bench kind of didn't perform very well. So basically, seriously, at the end of the game, I was super happy that we won, but I was also really kind of upset that we kind of wasted 5 minutes there. And I really wanted my bench to produce a little bit more. So it was awesome that we made it to the finals, but also I wanted to perform just a little bit better.
How did Japan play against Team USA, which obviously has a track record as a dynasty on the world stage?
Yeah.
Did you play okay? Did you play subpar? Did you play better or worse than you expected?
Again, that was a game going in. We had a lot of confidence, believe it or not. We were very confident that we were going to win that game. Based on the group game where we lost by 17, and we didn't play well at all in that game, I didn't feel. There was a stretch in that group game, and late in the third quarter, we were down 6 points, and we stopped America 7 possessions in a row. They had 0 points in 7 possessions, but we had 0 points as well. We missed open threes. We missed a layup. We had some really bad possessions on offense. So I always felt that the pressure was on America. So if we get a second chance, which we did in the finals, during that crunch time, I was hoping that we could really put some pressure on the Americans, and hopefully that pressure would crack them a little bit, and we'd have a really good chance of winning. Unfortunately, we didn't start the game at all very well. Against America, we really had to shoot close to 40% from three. We had to finish in the paint, and I think our first 3 possessions or 4 possessions were empty. Our Miyazawa had an open three look and she fumbled the ball. Machida had a layup and she missed it. And it wasn't the start that we needed. We really had to be on top of our game to beat America. We weren't on top of our game. We didn't play awful, but it was always an uphill battle once we had a bad start. And I give credit to America. They were prepared. They played the defense where they completely denied our shooters. They basically took options away from our offense and basically turned us into a drive and finish team. And Machida she's not really a scorer. She is obviously a passer. Motohashi is a scorer and she played really well, but she wasn't at 100% with her injury. So yeah, it was what it was. America won that game. They suffocated us on defense, and we couldn't stop Brittany Griner.
What was the first thing you told your players after the gold medal game?
We were all disappointed. So it was a little somber locker room, but we also knew we just won a silver medal. So it was kind of an emotional post-game locker room. It was, you know, we were upset we didn't win the game, but it was also the end of our journey for that team. And we had been together for a long time. So it was kind of an empty, sad type of feeling until we went to get the medal, the medal ceremony. I saw the players' faces, how they were just beaming with pride, receiving their medals, and things changed right there. So it kind of hit us a little bit. It hit me a little bit that we did something great, and it was something to be proud of. And from that moment on, my thought processes really started changing, and we all went back to the locker room, and it was more of a positive vibe, and a lot of tears from the players and staff, and it was a special team.
If you took a writer's or a poet's kind of mindset or a broadcaster's mindset and were asked to quickly summarize your Olympic memories, your overall memories of the Olympics, what would be the like the most compact way of doing that?
It was a beautiful journey. We had a lot of injuries and different things that affected us, but it never stopped us. And by the end of the Olympics, we were just a great team. We were a focused group, and it was a lot of fun.
You used the word great team at the end of the Olympics. What was the team when the Olympics started? A good team? A very good team? How would you assess where the team was before the Olympics began?
Because of COVID, we didn't have a lot of practice games leading up mm-hmm. to the Olympics. We won every single game we played. We beat Portugal 3 times. We beat Belgium, Puerto Rico, Canada. So we really were trending up. But after every game, after we beat France, we got better. We lost to America, but we got better. We got more confident, I think. Mm-hmm. We beat Nigeria. And that was a really good game for us. That was one of our most complete games. And then Belgium was just a crazy, exciting game. And that's kind of where I think we went from a really good team to a great team. And then, like I said, after that, it was a super team. We're a super team.
Thank you for that insight. I enjoyed hearing it. You know, from what I saw and what from everyone else saw, Rui Machida's passing, mm-hmm. let's call it splendid passing, opened the eyes of the world to her playmaking abilities. She might have been a name that the diehard basketball people knew about before the Olympics, but as the Olympics progressed, and now she's a household name.
Yeah.
How special was it to see her shine on the global stage?
Rui's an interesting story. So she's always been in the background, a backup point guard. She was a backup point guard for Yoshida. She was a backup point guard for Motohashi. Mm-hmm. She was a backup point guard for Fujioka. So it's she's always just been there. And she's such a unselfish player. Always positive. She's this little dynamo, but she's also very, very strong-minded. So to see her shine on that stage was something special. She deserved every single minute of it, and I was really happy for her.
Let's shift our focus a bit to the men's national team and some topics related to the men's game.
Okay.
So just to remind people, you were appointed men's national team head coach officially last month.
Yes.
At the outset, what are your key objectives at the beginning of your tenure with the men's national team? And what are your long-term goals as the head coach?
So my first objective is to start creating relationships with the players. And the only way you can do that is get them on the court, start working with them, start building trust, start building clear objectives for the team. So that's my first objective. And that goes hand in hand with the long-term goals. I can't get specific on the goals. Obviously, the main goal is to qualify for the Paris Olympics. Mm-hmm. So that's the main goal, the three-year goal. Before that, I love to set high goals that we have to strive for and work really hard to get to obtain. I can't do that until those relationships with the players have started. So I really need to get their thoughts on what they can do and their confidence levels. And I just really need to start that before I can set specific goals. And I believe in specific goals, not some gray zone goal. It needs to be a specific goal that we can all work towards. I'm not ready to set that goal yet until we start getting dirty on the court.
Okay. What parallels will there be in how you approach coaching the men's team and the women's team, both in terms of tactics and also in how you work on those relationships? Is it basically the same thing?
Style-wise, we're going to be very similar. I want to create a fast-paced team, full court, transition, offense, defense, aggressive, very efficient defense, timely defense, quick rotations, a lot of energy. I believe that the men have the players. I've been watching video nonstop for the last couple of weeks, and there's a lot of very good players that I really want to look at. So it's going to be very similar type of thing. In terms of how do you coach, let me take a step back. Our style of play on the women's side basically was NBA. So I brought a lot of actions, a lot of sets from the NBA. Mm-hmm. We're analytic basketball. So that is going to continue with the men. And I believe it needs to be with smaller teams that you need to really make efficient use of the 3-point line and analytics. So points per possession is going to be something that we really focus on offensively and defensively. So that's not going to be a big change, I don't think, for the men. In terms of how I coach, that's an adjustment that I will make on a day-to-day basis, depending on relationships with the players and how they go about their business.
In your opinion, how did former coach Julio Lamas transform the men's national team during his 4 years in charge?
Yeah, Coach and I are good friends. I talked to him a few days ago. I think he gave a base of professionalism, and he created a very nice space for the players to really start to believe in themselves. And I think once they started getting some success, you could see some confidence building in the players. So, and obviously I think the players really respected him and what he and Erdman did over the 4 years. And mm-hmm. I want to take that confidence in that base and try to use my style, which is a little bit more full court, a little bit more fast paced, and hopefully take the next step.
If you're comfortable discussing it a little bit, can you talk about what went on maybe behind the scenes or directly face to face in discussions that led to you becoming the men's head coach? Was this a long-term maybe goal of yours, or the JBA, or did this kind of happen just after the Olympics?
Yeah, it just happened after the Olympics. It kind of surprised me. I think it surprised a lot of people in the media as well. It surprised me a little bit, and mm-hmm. it took me a little bit of time for it to sink in. After spending a lot of time with the women and obviously after the Olympics, it doesn't matter if you win a silver or not. After the Olympics, there's going to be kind of it's not a depression, but it's wow, you've been working for 4 years for this one goal and now it's mm-hmm. over.
Yeah.
So you've got that. And then after the Olympics, I was offered the men's job, and that was just a lot for me to kind of take in all at once. So it took a little bit of time. And that's something I told Coach Lamas as well. I said I didn't have anything to do with it. So it was not something that I looked for or thought about at all.
Were you reluctant to make a response to the offer, or did you accept immediately?
No.
What took place in your mind?
It took me a while. I needed to think about it. I needed to, first of all, step back from the Olympic experience and just take a breath, which was hard enough to do. I needed to, there was a couple other offers from other countries that I wanted to think about, but.
Women's, men's, both?
Women.
Okay.
Yeah. The more I thought about it and started weighing things in my mind, it really started appealing to me, the challenge. And I think the men basketball in general, women's and men's basketball in Japan, is really starting to take off. And I think the women are well on their way, and the men have really grown their base through the B League and the World Championships and making the Olympics. So I really think this is an exciting time for basketball, and the JBA has, and it's been a fantastic honor. They've offered me this position, and I'm really excited about getting started with it. I think it could be a very interesting journey for us.
How important is the B League's growth from a competitive standpoint to build and strengthen the men's national team?
I think it's invaluable. It's got to start, I think, with that. There's a lot of kids that are growing up that are now looking at the B League. Mm-hmm. That's their goal and that's their objective. And once you start getting that grassroots energy going, I think it's a very big part of growing basketball here in Japan. And the national team is obviously a great motivator for kids as well. So once kids see that the national team is really competitive and winning games on the international level, that's going to be another step. But the B League has been great for basketball here in Japan.
As we talk about the Japan national team and the global scene of basketball, obviously Rui Hachimura and Yuta Watanabe are important building blocks for the national team. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's a healthy motivational visual for the players on the team and that are trying to be on the team to see those guys, you know, in the news all the time. They see right. their highlights, they see the, you know, they got some endorsements and popularity, and obviously that makes them also motivated.
Right.
In your opinion, how healthy and important is that to have those guys as visual current NBA players?
I think to be honest, I look at it. I think it's an incredible opportunity for those players, and it does motivate up and coming players without a doubt. So that type of media is important. As a coach, I really want to, because they're not going to be able to join us for when we start building this team. So next month I'm starting to build a team. So what I really want to impress upon the players that are here that are training with us is I really want to create a strong team without those two. And then when they come in, it's just going to be a much, much better team. I don't want to create an environment where, oh, we're waiting for Rui. Oh, we're waiting for you. No. I want to create a very good competitive team without those players. And then when they come in, they're going to be just a turbo boost for us. So that's the challenge that we have now. And those are the type of challenges that I enjoy, and it'll be tough. It'll be tough, but I'm looking forward to that.
Which coaches have had the biggest influence on your career as a player and as a coach?
I've had two. Bruce Parkhill from Penn State was probably the main coach that formed me. and my coach, Ray Sanchez from high school, where we won a championship when I was 18. So they're two completely different coaches, coaching styles. Ray Sanchez is all about family and creating a fun, relaxed environment. And Coach Parkhill was all about he was a drill master. He drilled everything into us, and we had to play a certain way. And he taught me how to play, taught me how to be tough, taught me how to deal with certain environments and certain defenses and certain things. So after I graduated from Penn State, there was nothing that really surprised me as a professional. I was pretty much ready for that next stage.
And if you think about your job the last 5-10 years, and then even right now, are there coaches at the pro level or national team level that influenced the way you, even maybe college guys that influenced the way you strategize and run a team?
I always, So during my off seasons, I'm always trying to learn. So before the pandemic hit, I went on like a 1800 mile tour of the East Coast of just visiting teams. I went to the Knicks. I went to Connecticut University. I went to Penn State. I went to Michigan, Michigan State, Virginia, Navy, back to Penn State. I just kept going to all these different practices, men's teams, women's teams. And then I flew to Colorado. I went to the Air Force Academy. I went to CU. And then I went to Golden State, Los Angeles Lakers. I just went all over the, just studying coaches, trying to pick up drills, but also seeing how coaches deal with players and talk to players and structure their practices. So those are I always try to learn and pick up different things, and I have throughout the years. But that's something I'm always trying to do.
That sounds like a fun road trip, but also fun homework.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I drove the whole time. Well, on the East Coast, I rented a car, and it was a long 2 weeks, but it was interesting.
You've got a few weeks now in preparation for the FIBA Asia World Cup qualifiers. Yeah. So we'll be following your progress and the team's progress. And I'm sure I have more questions before and after those games. Thanks again for your time, coach.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the small window of preparation that we have and getting this 3-year journey started. So should be interesting. And I really am looking forward to a couple really competitive, good games in the end of November against China.
Okay, thank you very much. And once again, Tom Hovas, men's national team head coach, is our podcast special guest today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.